gentlemen, boys and ghouls, step right up. Behind this curtain lies a ghastly concoction of delight, horror, fantasy, and terror. Your every wish is our command, your every whimsical desire brought to life. But I'm warning you, there's always a price. Welcome to the greatest show on
of the Jeff Life story. This will be the final part of it, so I hope you guys enjoy. See you later.
Anyways, back to the Navy stuff. I did get out in 91. I actually had to sign a 3-month extension because my wife was pregnant with my second daughter. I was supposed to get out in June of 91, and I extended it to September so that she could have it while I was still enlisted. Because if you're going to have kids, do it in the military. My first daughter cost me 25, and my second daughter cost me 30. And most of that was the meals I ate at the hospital. Mm-hmm. It's cheap to have a child in the military. And her due date was 2 weeks after my enlistment was supposed to be over. So they allowed me to extend it for 3 months so that I could stay in so she could have my daughter. And during that time, I was part of the decommissioning crew. So I was on the Lexington when she got decommissioned also. I was in there till September, and the official decommissioning ceremony was in November, but I was part of the decommissioning crew. Man, I scored all kinds of shit on the decommissioning crew. Basically, everyone got orders to go everywhere else, and if you were short on your enlistment, then they kept you there on the ship. And you basically went, you cleaned out areas, tore stuff down, whatnot. It's a scrapper's dream. Mm-hmm. We got it. You know, come across old World War II stuff that was left on the ship. And they're saying, get rid of it. I'm like, hell no, that's World War II stuff. I'm taking that. I had the official, the Navy flag from the ship that was on the quarterdeck. They let me go ahead and take that. It was a big 8-foot by 4-foot flag, something like the Navy, all decorated out, castles on it, shit. Mm-hmm. But I ended up getting rid of that, selling it to a fucking Army surplus store. They didn't pay me near what it was fucking worth, because mm-hmm. It was an actual part of history. But
it's all before eBay, you know?
And I hated getting rid of it, but I had nowhere to hang it or anything mm-hmm. either, so it was just sitting in a closet. Just all kinds of stuff. And then there was two of us. Since we were short, and we'd also been, you know, I was had been an E4, and the other guy was an E4, they put us in charge of the decom crews. So we would go and say, hey, we got this today. And the cleanup job was simple stuff. You know, mm-hmm. it'd be one huge 30 by 40 foot room, and most of the shit, you know, involved maybe carrying it up one set of steps and then fucking tossing it in a big dumpster. Whatever. Hey, this is all we got to do. If you need us, we'll be back here fishing. And we go to the Fantail and fish all fucking day. And, you know, the incentive for these guys, when you're done, you can go home. Just mm-hmm. come see us first. So these guys would come in, bust their ass for 4 hours and leave at lunchtime. And the day's over. Yeah. And we're in Florida, and you're down at 11 o'clock. You from 11 o'clock, you're free the rest of the day. These guys were happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
So we tell them, you know, we had to stay till 2:30, 3 mm-hmm. o'clock in the afternoon because we were the supervisors. But, again, we sat on a fantail and fished all fucking day. Mm-hmm. It was a skeleton crew. The decommissioning skeleton crew was probably, 100, 150 people total. They had a lot of civilians come in. You know, with the cutting stuff up with welding machines, all that kind of stuff. And so it was awesome. There was good fishing on that fantail, too. Guy's name was Ty. Actually, I got him on my Facebook now. I just found him a few, about a year ago. Actually, he found me. He sent me a friend request. I've got probably about 10, 12 guys I was in the Navy with, and a couple girls that I served with that I got on Facebook now. We'll sit there and talk some stories back and forth and shit.
Those are always fun, you know, sitting around with old friends talking about stuff.
Oh, you know, like I said before, you get out at sea for that long, you get bored and run out of shit to do. And, I don't know if I said this before, but they used to put wrestling on. This is back, you know, late 80s, early 90s. Wrestling's in its big heyday.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, right about day 9, playing wrestling is not the smartest thing to do. Because you get, like, my birthing had, I think, 40 guys in it. Mm-hmm. And all of us are fans of wrestling. So they put fucking one of the wrestlings on, like, you know, they might get a hold of WrestleMania 3 months after it's been aired. They'll send it to us to watch. Now they'll air WrestleMania or something like that. And you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, this one guy, his name is Doug Harper. Crazy little fucker. He's probably like 5'2". Short little bastard.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting there. He'll stare at you and you look at him and go, what? And he'll just launch out of his chair and fucking clothesline you out of your chair. It's like, whoop, boom! And you're looking up and saying, like, I'm going to kill you, you little fucker. So then you grab him, pick him up, and one fucking body slam him, and all of a sudden here comes another guy out of the side, fucking nails you. It's like, ah, shit, no. So then you get up and start nailing them, and before you know it, there's 20 guys in there just clotheslining and body slamming, dog piling on people and shit like that. And it's all fun and games till someone starts to bleed, and then they get pissed. You know, it's like, hey, don't get pissed off. You're the one that fucking blindsided me first or jumped in, so. But.
We used to do that all the time when I was back in the church group. We'd go to camp or whatever. We'd throw all the mattresses on the floor and just.
Oh, dude,
30 of us was going to town.
There were no mattresses on the floor. This was straight out tile with steel underneath. There was no give. It was boom! And the only thing that protected you was any body fat you had.
Uh-huh.
And I got bored one day and I took a bunch of masking tape. Kept putting it around my face. Before I knew it was shaped like a Jason mask. It even had the nose thing on it. So I put a little big chunk of rubber band thing across the back and they'd be fucking with me, and I'm like, all right. And I go back there, and I throw that mask on, the fucking pair of coveralls, looking like Jason, a short Jason. Come out there, and like, oh, fuck, he's got the mask on. And I just start fucking nailing people. I'll run over there and just clothesline them and fucking knock them down, and I just get a whole thing started.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't do that now. You do that now, someone will get pissed off at you and pull out a gun and shoot your knife and fucking stab you and shit. But back then, that shit was a blast.
Mm-hmm.
One time we were wrestling around, and this guy put me in a headlock, ran my head in a locker, and we're wrestling around again. All of a sudden, my foot slips, and fucking, we go down on the ground, and look over, and I'm like, fuck, someone's bleeding. And the dude's like, oh, shit, man, I'm sorry. I'm like, what? And I put my hand on my head, and my whole fucking hand comes down red. I'm like, ah, shit. And he had ran my head in the locker, and I had about a fucking 3-inch gash in the very top of my head. And, you know, I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
You know, it took 20 stitches. And I went to medical, and they had to shave a big fucking bald patch so they could fucking sew it up. And then they fucking wrapped my whole head and shit like that. So I'm walking around, my whole head's wrapped up in a big bandage, like a head wound and crap. Everyone's looking at me weird and shit, and they put me under a concussion watch, and so the three guys that I was wrestling with, they made them fucking stay up, so every 2 hours, one of them had to come over and wake me up and make sure I didn't have a concussion and shit like that, and that really pissed me off.
Oh, it does.
What? Dude, I'm just checking. Just leave me the fuck alone. If you see me breathing, I'm okay. But what was funny was earlier, we'd all just got in trouble and got lectured from our first class petty officer about not working as a team and shit like that. So when this happened, everyone come up with the same fucking lie. You know, we had what they call coffin lockers.
Mm-hmm.
And your mattress sets on your bunk, And there's a handle, and you lift that up, and you got all your lockers underneath where you store everything. You actually sleep right on top of it. Well, each one has a drawer that you pull out. And it has happened. There are sharp corners on there. And if the guy in the middle rack has that open and the guy underneath is doing something, he comes up, he'll fucking gash your head. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they told him. You know, everyone was, well, he was getting in his leg. Yeah. And it's what I told everyone on the way out. I said, all right, he comes down. I was in my locker because I was on the bottom. And I brought my head up and I caught that. Well, the cut was not consistent with that story. Because in order for that to happen, the cut has to be vertical. Mm-hmm. Well, mine was horizontal across my head.
Oh.
So I'm down there, and this is after I get all the stitches and whatnot, and VM1 comes fucking strolling down there. He comes walking in, doing that little, that dance thing, kind of mm-hmm. hopping down, strolling one foot in front of the other. Everyone get their fucking ass up here right now. So we all come up. He says, all right, what happened? So I told him. He looks at another guy and says, what happened? He gave him the same story. Looked at another guy, what happened? Gives him the same story. And he goes, you were wrestling, weren't you? And I'm like, yeah. He said, well, he says, you already know how I feel about that shit. He says, but I know you guys are going to do it anyways. And he says, at least y'all got your fucking story straight and finally learned some teamwork. I'm like, well, you know. He says, all right, who are you wrestling with? I said, it was such and such and such and such and such and such. He says, all right, you fucking three are doing the concussion watch on him today. He says, it was you fucking four that were wrestling around, so you four are going to fucking pay the price. He said, you three are going to check him, and you already paid your price. He just turned around and said, good job on the teamwork, and walked the fuck out. We're like, what the fuck just happened?
Hey, like, that was a different time back then. I mean, I remember when I was going to church, like, they used to take us out doing paintball. We'd do, I mean, we rappelled down the side of this cliff one time. They had one of them lines, you know, zip lines.
Yeah.
And at one point, we were a good 50 feet off the ground going down the zip line. Just holding on. There was nothing holding us to that line. You can't do that nowadays. You know, at the end of the line, you're still 10 feet off the ground, and they've got somebody out there that's catching you. You let go, and they catch you at the bottom.
Well, and, you know, yeah. there's a certain camaraderie, and it doesn't matter what branch of the military you're in. Mm-hmm. There's just a certain camaraderie that you develop with the other guys that you're with. Because when the shit really hits the fan, mm-hmm. you got each other's lives in your hand.
Right.
You know, we're all trained on the same basic first aid shit, you know, take care of massive wounds, how to try and at least get the guy to survive till the medic gets there, that kind of stuff. And so there's certain shit you can do in the military with these guys that you can't do with, you know, even if you've been friends with the guy for 25 fucking years mm-hmm. out in the civilian world, you still can't come anywhere close to doing what you do with your buddies in the military.
Yep.
We used to fucking, every few months we'd have to wash down our mooring lines mm-hmm. and get all the salt water off. So we usually did it once we pulled out to sea. We'd fucking hang it all on the fantail, and we pull out the big 4-inch, 3-inch, 3-inch water hoses. And a 3-inch water hose, well, fire hose.
Fire hose, yeah.
That's big. If you get hit in the chest on that, you're going across the floor slamming in the wall. And it never failed. About halfway through clean, someone would fucking aim that and nail somebody. And then on that, that guy would take a fucking bucket full of soapy water and fucking douse that. And next thing you know, there's fucking 40 of us back there with fucking fire hoses and water buckets and everything back there just having a fucking war. Making a bigger mess
mm-hmm.
than what needs be. And then, of course, we all get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Someone, there's always one little fucking pussy that gets wet and goes running to the fucking office. And they come back there, and everyone gets in trouble, and we gotta stay out there till fucking midnight and fucking scrub and clean shit, because this one little fucker can't keep his mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
This little fucker's name was Brackovich. I will not hide and protect names. This motherfucker, he got his ass handed to him quite a few times by us, because he was a little fucking snitch. His daddy was a lawyer. That should be all you need mm-hmm. to fucking know. And he reported us on that one time. You get down in a berthing, and you're talking this place is probably 30 foot by 40 foot and get 40 guys sleeping in there. It gets warm. Mm-hmm. Well, we slept. Our berthing sleeping area was right underneath where they kept the computers for the ship. So these guys, where the computers are at, would take all the fucking cool air. They block it off down mm-hmm. to us so they could keep the computers cool. So it'd get hot down there. So we had those great big fucking hurricane fans. We had like six of those down there just blowing down the mm-hmm. aisles to keep us cool. This motherfucker get cold and get up in the middle of the night and fucking shut them off. You talk about pissed off people. Mm-hmm. You get, you know, 40 guys sweating to death in the middle of the night. We wake up and all the fans are shut off because this little fucking pussy's cold. You're mad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we finally, one of our guys had a connection and he got us an air conditioning unit to put down there. And I'm not talking like a window one. I'm talking 10 foot by fucking 10 foot by 3 foot deep. When we set this motherfucker, you can see your breath coming out. Mm-hmm. And we all liked it that cold down there. This motherfucker would get up in the middle of the night and shut it off. So you're going to bed and it's you know, 65 degrees and you're waking up and it's 85 degrees down there. Mm-hmm. And humid. Who the fuck shut that off?
Mine did. That was cold.
You do that again and I'm going to break your fucking neck, you little bastard. And he got up one night and there were six of us waiting on him. We're all sitting out there and he gets up there and fucking shuts that down. And we go over there, fucking grab his ass, strip him down naked, and then fucking tie his ass up to it, aim the air right down on him. And then we muffled his mouth shut. Took a fucking jock and shoved it in his mouth. We left him that way all night long. We get up the next morning, and VN1 comes down there, fucking sees that, and he blows his fucking lid. He's like, "Who the fuck did this?" And we're like, "We did." "Why? Why did you do that?" "Because he got up in the middle of the night. He's been the one that's getting up in the middle of the night and shutting that off." And we told him if he didn't stop, we're going to teach him a lesson about it. He ignored us and kept turning it off, so we taught him a lesson. And he looks at him, he fucking pulls a jockstrap out of his mouth. He goes, "Did you do that?" "Well, yeah, it was cold." "And you fucking deserved everything you got," and he fucking walked away. And it's like, "You little cocksucker."
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to teach people stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Look how many times we left Todd, you know?
He pissed people off so many times. He eventually got transferred out. He got moved to a different division. And those guys knocked the fuck out of him. He got a blanket party.
Oh, those are the best.
Oh, man, some of them motherfuckers getting hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
They threw that blanket over him because we had those wool blankets. Mm-hmm. Fucking held his ass down and just went to town on him. Beat the fuck out of him. And he tried to report him and he fell down the stairs. And then he eventually got kicked out because he was just a little fucking prick.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone got tired of his shit. I don't remember. I think he went out on a psyche bail because they pushed him over the edge or some shit like that.
Broke his mind, huh?
Yep. He was a little cocksucker, man. I couldn't stand that prick.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, you meet people like that all the time. Todd was like that, you know. I mean, he's the best guy around. I mean, he always had your back and gave you a shirt off his back, but he could do stupid shit that just piss you off.
Yeah, Brakovich was just a snitch.
See, Todd never was a snitch. I mean, he was good about that. He'd been to jail enough, he knew.
We got in trouble for so much shit from him. But another time we were back there and we had to clean out. We had some storage lockers back there.
Mm-hmm.
And we found some of those glow sticks. So we decided it'd be cool to fucking, at night, fucking snap them open, fucking shake them up, fucking spray them all over the wall. Come out there. Oh, man, did we get our asses in trouble for doing that one. No one would admit who did that, so everyone got in trouble for it. Everyone just kept their mouths shut about that one. But that was a whole fucking fantail. That bright alien green color all over the place. You know, fuck that. That shows us off. Blah blah blah. So we're in the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah. We're in the Gulf. We're off of fucking Texas. So what? But it was a whole protocol thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that shit was a blast. And then Yeah, that's about all I got right now.
Yeah, I get into the Phantom Shitter stuff, too.
Oh, I forgot about the Phantom Shitter.
Never talked that.
I forgot about
the Phantom Shitter. That's the greatest story ever.
We got most of the ship. You had bathrooms that were set up. They probably had 15, 20 stalls, 15, 20 urinals, 15, 20 showers. Mm-hmm. Well, rule of thumb is you never fucking go barefoot. You always have shower shoes or flip-flops or something on, and you leave them on when you're in the shower. Mm-hmm. Reason is you never know what the gang... every time you went in, the showers were always aimed at a slight angle, so all the water would wash down both directions, and the center one is the one you didn't want to be in, where the drain was mm-hmm. at, because you never knew what the other... You didn't know if the guy was whacking off, pissing, or whatever. It's running down the mm-hmm. water.
Same thing in prison.
And there's always someone... It's what we call the Phantom Shitter. There's always got someone that steps up to be what we call the Phantom Shitter. And he would go down and literally just shit in a shower stall. And
now, how was the shower stall set up? Because I know when I was in prison, you had like a personal shower stall that you were by yourself.
Each one was a personal stall. It was like 10 down either direction. Mm-hmm. Personal stall, each had a curtain. Mm-hmm. But you had a big 1 foot opening down at the bottom. Okay. Where it would all run. So, same type mm-hmm. setup. So you could go in there and, you know, a lot of guys would take a fucking naked picture,
slap it on the wall.
Slap it on the wall and go to town. And
you could sell those for in the prison. They're like $5 or a book of stamps each one.
Really?
I was trying to sell Anna's picture. I had one guy that was all over her and he was offering me money and everything for it. I was like, no, that's my friend. I can't let you do that.
Wasn't a hot dog eating picture, was it? That really sold.
Oh yeah.
You couldn't do that one. Skin mags were.
Well, they take it, they get the picture or whatever, and they put tape over it. Just a whole bunch of tape, and they get one of the mirrors that has a magnet on it, and tape it to that so they could stick it up on the shower in there. It would hang.
Now you just laminate. You wet the laminate, and you slap it right up because we had all those stalls were stainless steel.
See, ours was tile, so...
Oh, no, ours was all stainless steel, so all I had to do was get it a little wet and fucking slap right up there.
And see, and when we had our bathroom in there, you'd have the stall, and then you had a urinal next to it, but the urinal also had a curtain that went across it, so they had two curtains to go to get to where you were in the shower. So you could beat off in it wherever you wanted to do.
See, you walked in, most of the bathrooms in there, you walked in, you had the urinals, you had the stalls, and then you had a huge line of sinks with a great big huge mirror and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Set up a lot like... what you see in like the cop locker rooms they show mm-hmm. on TV or whatever, set up the same kind of way, and then shower stalls were always through a little doorway in a completely different area, shut off from the rest of it. And these guys weren't shy about it. You see them walking with a picture, so you knew, all right, he's in that stall, so I'm going to this one. But inevitably, someone would always shit in there, and no one could ever catch him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we call him the Phantom Shitter. And he would strike different bathrooms, and it would happen during the sea cruise, and like every day and a half, or every other day or whatever. Hey, Phantom Shitter shit up such and such, and you know, and we had little shower areas set up all over too, with like only two shower stalls mm-hmm. and everything. We had one of those by our office, and I like to use that one because that's a little more personal. Mm-hmm. So I go up there and I fucking shower in that one. And, then it stopped, and then 6 months down the road, boom, Phantom Shitter hit again. And I pretty much, I think it's this way through the entire Navy, every place, every base, and every ship of a decent size has Phantom Shitter and Phantom Shitter stories. And I'm not joking, dude. And you could tell when he struck because you walk in the area and you just smell the shit. You didn't even have to look for it. It's like, oh, motherfucker, hit in here. And so you go walking across the ship to another fucking bathroom to take your shower. But
see, it was nasty for us because our showers was in the bathroom. So you'd be in the shower and somebody would be like, you know, 3 feet away shitting. Smell that stuff. It's like, oh, my God, you know, wait till I get out.
The main showers that we used That the showers were usually separated by a wall from where the shitters were at. So, but you still had some people that stunk. The whole fucking bathroom, no matter where you were at. Aren't you loving this conversation?
Well, see, we get the black guys in there, they go in the shower, and they take their chairs in there and want to sit down in there, because they have to do their hair and all that stuff in there.
Yeah.
Leaves and stuff, and you know.
Yeah, and we had some guys like that. They take the metal folding chair and sit down there and
put lotion all over everything.
Do whatever they fucking do.
Coconut butter and all that stuff.
It wasn't shaving. None of the motherfuckers ever shaved. They all got a no-shave chit permission slip they carried all the time, because they get the bumps or whatever, so they never shave. They wore the fucking do-rags everywhere.
They come in there smell like fucking coconut chicken and shit. That's some nasty stuff.
Coconut chicken?
What they smell like? They were nasty.
Hey, man, you smell like chicken.
They wear that stuff. Whatever they put in their hair and come off on their pillows.
And
Gel.
Jerry curl or whatever.
And it'd be like this black spots all over their pillow. I kept picking on. I was like, yeah, man, that black's rubbing off. You're just a white man inside.
You need better shoe polish, boy.
Got into it with them over, they got in a big old argument over Black History Month, throwing a fit about it. They're like, give us our month. One of the white guys, I guess, was painting pictures like gorillas and trying to sell them during the Black History Month. Not joking. So they got all mad about it. They're like, well, give us our month. This is our month. It should only be black. He's like, we get this, and like Martin Luther King Day is the only holidays they get. Like,
Martin Luther King Day is Black History Month.
Yeah, I told him, like, dude, you know, you get Black Friday. They're like, no, that's not one. I was like, yeah, it's a day that we set aside so that we discount everything, so you ain't got to go riot right before Christmas. You know? They got mad.
Oh, shit.
Oh, it would piss them off.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Like politically incorrect, but funny.
There was six of us in the bus stop. I was the only white one in there. And I had to live with these guys.
I used to work with a guy. He was a black guy. And he was cool. He used to joke about that shit. He was okay if
he
joked about that.
Because
he had so many cracker jokes it wasn't funny. And we'd fuck with him all the time when he'd ride with me. His name was Mike. And actually, he's a local stand-up comedian now. He's been doing shows, and he's been on one of the local bro radio stations, like from 5 to 5:30 or something on Thursdays or Fridays. He's fucking funny, but man, sometimes we just get a good one, put him in his place. And he's like, fuck it, you guys won that one. We're riding along in the truck one day, and this is when I worked at the place where I did the kitchen cabinets and whatnot. We were going to install some countertops. These guys built countertops, and sometimes if I didn't have anything to deliver, I went with them to help install and whatnot. We're going down the road, and this is about Halloween time. And you got that decoration people put, and it's a whole bunch of ghosts in a circle around a tree. So we're driving down the road, and Ernie looks at us and says, quick, Mike, duck! I had to pull the truck over because I was laughing so hard. And Mike, he was cool, but he was laughing his ass off. He had tears come out of his eyes. He's all bloodshot and shit.
We had one there. I was in prison. It was my next to last night, or the last night I was in there getting ready to get out. And, like I said, I was the only white one in the bus stop. So they were joking around, talking about, yeah, I'll be out tomorrow. I was like, I'll see you guys later and all this shit. One of the Muslim guys, he slept next to me the whole time we were there. And he's like, he was getting kind of fed up with me saying I was getting out and they had to stay at another 20 years or whatever on his sentence and shit. And he's like, you know, if I wasn't a Muslim, I'd ass rape you tonight. I was like, hey, according to your religion, as long as there's not five witnesses, you can. Throw that shit back up on him. We had the one there, they were bitching about, when I first got there, there was one other white guy. He got moved out like the first month after I had been there. Ended up being a chomo. And they were picking on him. Yeah, right after he got moved out, they're like, I can't believe the fucking chomo and all this stuff. And they're running, you know, all the child molesters and shit into the ground. I was like, you know, it said something about, you know. That's a good picture. And I ended up telling him, I was like, I said, yeah, but Sarah, I read this book one time. It's like about this guy, you know, he married some chick when she was 9 and then fucked her when she was 11. And they're, oh, that's nasty, that's disgusting. I was like, yeah, his name was Mohammed, maybe? Oh, they got me.
Boy, talk about fucking poking the hornet's nest there, mm-hmm. Kurt.
They'd be there doing their praying or whatever, you know, they got to go down on the rug and all that stuff. And me and John would be in there. And he was my, like I said, he's my best friend in prison. Basically my prison bitch. And they'd be going down doing their praying and stuff. Me and John be in the corner like, oh, what the fuck? That one song, Face Down, Ass Up, or whatever the fucking song. That to each other, he'd get all mad. They quit doing their prayer by our bus stop after that.
I bet they
face
did.
Face down, ass up. That's the way I like the fuck.
The Chomo National Anthem.
Well, yeah, we had some blast in there, like I said. And all good guys, like I said, I mean, it wasn't like you would think about when you go into prison, you know? I mean, you know, hardened criminals and stuff. It was just a bunch of guys, normal guys. You know, hanging out, bullshit, and having fun with each other.
Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, that covers my Navy years.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do once you got out of the Navy?
A bunch of jobs. About the first year and a half, I went through a shitload of jobs. I didn't hold one for more, maybe a couple months, because it's... After you've lived a military life for, you know, 5 years, it's hard to adjust. In the military, you know, you can't quit. But you can walk away, you can, you know, voice your opinion, shit like that. You get out in the civilian world, get a job. You can't do that shit you did in the military. But you also had the freedom to say, fuck you. Fuck it. Throw your hands up and walk away. And I did. I lost. Well, I got married in the military. I got married in 89. And then my first daughter was born in December 89. And then, like I said, I re-upped and actually extended for 3 months in order to have my second one.
So where did you meet your first wife at?
She was actually dating one of my friends, and they were trying to hook me up with her friends.
So you just fucked out.
And then, ended up with her. And if they will cheat with you, they will cheat on you.
Mm-hmm.
Learn that from both of them, the first and second fucking wife. They were trying to hook me up, and then he was being a drunk asshole, and I happened to be there, you know, the consoling fucking friend, blah, blah, blah.
Told her what she wanted to hear to get in them pants.
No. Actually, I didn't, but I ended up in those pants, so. Married her, was married to her till, what, 89 to... 99. We were just 1 month shy of 10 years when the divorce papers were through. But she tried to fucking hide that from me. She might actually listen to this, so I gotta be careful what I say, but because she still collects support. So we're still in the fucking legal system.
Oh, yeah.
She filed for divorce. Actually, she got us kicked out of several places because she wouldn't fucking clean.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I was working 7 days a week, 3 jobs, just to try and take care of bills. And they still weren't being taken care of. And she was working, but she kept all her money. Her money was her money. My money was supposed to take care of everything else. And, you know, according to her, I never paid the bills, I didn't take care of them, I verbally abused her, all this bullshit, none of which occurred.
Mm-hmm.
We split up, and I got my own place for a while, probably about, it was almost a year we were split up. And then she said that, and in this period of time, we had my son, too. But we'd split up, and I'd have my own place for about a year. And then she said, you know, she needed help with bills and whatnot. I'm like, well, I can't help with that unless I move in. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't afford my place, plus help you out, plus, you know, paying my child support. Which for the first 9 months that we were separated, legally separated, I didn't pay support. But I did, you know, I bought them groceries, shit like mm-hmm. that. But to hear her tell the story, I didn't do nothing.
Of course, that's how they always are.
Just a deadbeat, you know. So I moved out of my place, moved into hers, and that lasted about a month. And I come home one day, and she's like, this just isn't going to work. You need to move out. I'm like, why? I said, we don't fight. We haven't fought. I said, you're getting caught up on your bills, you know, all this stuff. I said, what the hell's the problem? You know, we slept in separate areas. We didn't sleep together, nothing like that. I was strictly moved in. I was being with my kids, taking care of my kids while she supposedly worked.
You didn't give her, like, mercy fucks or nothing?
No, didn't really care.
I gave first mercy fuck this a little while ago. That's kind of cool. Normally, I'm the receiving one, but, you know, at least I got to give one of all that. It wasn't too bad.
But I'm like, you know, what the hell's the deal, you know? You just had me move out of my fucking place. Where am I supposed to go? Mm-hmm. You know, and she's like, well, it's just not going to work out. I'm like, okay. So I grabbed my shit, threw it in the car. And then I sat outside, waited, you know. Saw her load up all the kids, all three kids, take off. And I sat there probably for a good 4 hours waiting for her to come home to talk this out. And, you know, I did. So she didn't show up all fucking night. She's gone all night. Well, it turned out she met this guy and girl, husband, wife, on dating line. And this is back when all the fucking phone call dating lines mm-hmm. were going around and whatnot, before the internet was real big.
On party lines.
Yep. And it turns out she went over there. She took the kids and their kids and my kids played while they fucking got a threesome going in the back. And I was fucking pissed. Because, you made me give up my fucking place I was living at to help mm-hmm. you with bills, and then you just fucking throw me out like that. And, so, you know, they doing this shit and whatnot, and I ended up moving in with my sister and brother-in-law, and they had an extra room they were just renting out to me. And, so, this continued to go on between them and whatnot. I was still, you know, pretty pissed off about it all. She asked me to go help her look for some kind of exercise machine or whatever. I'm like, fuck it, whatever. So I go to help, and the dude's wife was with him, you know. So she goes to look at something, leaves me with the dude's wife. And she starts talking to me, you know, telling me I'm kind of cute and shit like that, and ends up giving me her fucking phone number. I'm like, okay. You know, and so I give her... didn't have a cell phone, you know, this is back before cell phones and whatnot. And so, you know, I gave her my sister's number and whatnot to reach me, and she gave me her house number and shit. I didn't think nothing of it, and after about a week or two, I get a phone call from her on like a Friday night. She's all panicked. I'm like, what the hell's going on? She's, my husband just took off with your ex-wife. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And she says, no, I mean, he was left with the car and they took off. Okay, you know, she's like, well, you know, can you come over and help me or whatever? I'm like, all right, fine, you know. So I get over there, and by the time I get over there, she'd already come back and drop him off and whatnot. And she, you know, she's like, what the fuck are you doing here and all this shit? I'm like, I got a phone call that he mm-hmm. took off with you, you know. So don't blow me no shit. I'm here by request. I'm not fucking spying on you. I could care less what you fucking do. We're divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that situation cools down, and then he finally did decide to leave his wife for my ex-wife, you know, so that happened, and I don't know, that was probably a couple weeks. He'd taken off and moved out, and she gives me a call, and you know, she says, hey, what's up? I said, oh, not much. You know, I'm just chilling out, playing on the computer one night. It was Friday night. She says, when was the last time you got laid? I said, oh, it's been a while. She said, well, how about you? And she says, it's probably about a month or so. I said, oh, yeah? She says, well, you want to come over and get laid? Okay. So I go over there, and I bang the shit out of her for like a week. And then we decided, it was about a week later, and decided to go out on a date. Well, Kelly calls me at the last minute. This is my first ex-wife. Fuck it. It's not like no one knows. And she basically pawned the kids off on me. You know, I want a night out with the girls. I need a night out. You need to watch kids. Well, call my parents. I'll gladly take them. You know, mm-hmm. Took off with their grandkids. They're like, no, you need to watch them. Right, whatever. So, you know, they come over and I call my parents and say, hey, I've got a date tonight. Kelly, you know, just dropped this on me last minute. She wants to go out with her friends or whatever. You mind watching the kids? Oh, no, bring them on over. Mm-hmm. You know, go ahead and go on your date, you know, whatever. So we went out to eat, movie, come back. We're in the middle of fucking. All of a sudden, there's a knock at my fucking door. Who the fuck is knocking on my door? Now I look, and it's fucking her. And she wants to come. She wanted to come check up on the kids. And I'm like, I'm busy. Who you got in there? It's none of your fucking business. We're divorced. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, you got such and such in there. I said, and what if I do? Well, I'm calling her husband. He left her. He left her for you. We're divorced. Fuck you. If you're fucking her, you're not going to say, I'm going to make sure you never see the kids again. I'm like, God, Jesus Christ, here we go. Mm-hmm. You know, so this throws her and this throws the other girl in a huge fucking panic. I will leave her out of this.
Yeah.
And him. Actually, he turned out to be pretty cool. I'm friends with him on fucking Facebook. And we both kind of have the same opinion of the ex-wife. But, so she's all in a panic, you know, he's going to try and take my kids away, blah, blah, blah. So we race back over to her house. Talk about a nasty cock block. Because I was in the middle of that one. You know, it's one thing to get blocked before it ever happens, another to get interrupted.
I don't even stop. Somebody knock on my door, I'm fucking, oh, well, they'll come back.
Well, I didn't stop. And about the fourth knock, it started to become pounding. Oh, my gosh, shit. So, but anyways, so we race back. And get there. Probably there about 5 minutes. All of a sudden, here come Kelly and him. And some cop cars. Jesus, what the hell now? And they turn around and they told the cops that I'm abusive. And I threatened to kill her and chop up her body and freeze it. Which I never threatened her, but I did tell her I'd do that once. She asked me some stupid question. You know, what would you do if this happened? I said, I'd kill you and cut you up and freeze the parts and feed them off. To an animal or whatever. Yeah, this was like fucking a year and a half before. You know, and the cop's like, did you say that? I said, yeah, like a year and a half ago was a joke. I said, she asked me this, and this is what I told her. And he shook his head, and he said about the abuse thing. I said, we're divorced, and she's pissed off because I'm banging his old lady because he left her for her. And he looked at them, and he says, you two need to just get in the car and leave. And so I continued mess around with her for a little bit, probably about 2 more weeks, and turned out she was kind of a psycho. So I was going to train one for another.
And
I'm like, okay, I'm out of this. So I got the hell out of there. And actually, it turned out she met another guy and married him like 6 months later. I'm like, woo. I dodged that one there. Oh, wow. And she got ugly. She wasn't bad looking then, but now she's like, ooh. Yeah, that was a long time ago when she was a lot thinner and looked a lot better.
That's when they invented the light switch.
But,
and alcohol.
That was my first vengeance fuck. That was pretty fun. that was fun payback. And then I met my second ex-wife, which I went to school with her. Mm-hmm. The first one, she was from Pensacola, Florida, whatnot. Second one I actually went to school with. Liked her in school. She was a sophomore. I was a freshman. About the time I got up the nerve to ask her out, she got back with her ex-boyfriend, who turned out to turn gay when he graduated. It's kind of funny. Take that, you little fucking cocksucker. But he got back. He was one of them douchebags. He got back with her, and she wasn't allowed to talk to any guys or anybody like that. So all of a sudden, it was you know, went from being really good friends, talking to her for 2-3 hours a night, to no contact whatsoever because her boyfriend won't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a little fucking cocksucker. But I ran into her in a chat room on Yahoo and talked and went and met her later that day and made out, finger banged her, all that kind of fun shit.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting together. About a week later, she come over and started in the heavy petting, and she decided she wanted to give it up. I'm like, okay.
Maybe so, you had her complaints from us.
You know, did that, and she ended up staying a couple days, and it was a Saturday morning, and we get up, and I'm getting in the shower, and I hear yelling outside. I'm like, what the fuck? And I get up, and there's my fucking ex-wife showing up again, getting in her face. I'm like, we're fucking divorced. What the hell is your damn fucking problem? And my sister happened to be driving by, so my sister come in there, and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? You divorced him. He's moving on. You know, you moved on. She was still living with the other guy. You know, they actually got together and stayed together for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And she's just fucking trying to start all kinds of shit. You know, she finally left and whatnot, and I'm standing inside naked. I'm just watching through the window. I'm like, fuck this. This is going on. My sister's here. She can take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a non-ballsy thing to do, but fuck it. I am not getting in the middle of this shit. Fuck this, because Hope was my second ex-wife. She was twice the size of Kelly, so if there anything was going to... Kelly was up there. She's a southern girl. She's up there pointing her fucking finger in her nose. I'm just waiting for Hope to haul off and break her neck. Because...
Mm-hmm.
She was quite a bit bigger than her. It was just she probably 3 inches taller and probably got 75 pounds on her, you mm-hmm. know. So I was like, sister's already in the middle of this, whatever, you know, that they can sort it out. I really don't need to step out in the middle of this because that'll just probably escalate it anyways. So comes down again, and I don't know, it was about a few weeks. Me and Hope actually ended up getting together and whatnot, and we're over at my parents' house, and fucking Kelly shows up again. Comes in there, starts getting in my fucking face about me leading her on, just waiting until the next best thing comes along or whatever. And I looked at her and said, what the fuck are you talking about? And she says, you used me, blah, blah, blah. I said, we were fucking divorced. I said, you were fucking him, so I fucked his wife back. You're still fucking him, and I moved on and got another girlfriend. What the fuck is your problem? Get out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
I want nothing to do with you. And she got up there. She fucking punched her fucking finger on my nose and shit. And she's like, go ahead, hit me. Try and hit me. And believe me, I wanted to fucking nail her and knock her the fuck out. But I didn't, because she wanted to do it, so she called the cops on
mm-hmm.
me. And, you know, my parents are there like, what the fuck, you know? And I'm, you know, my dad's like, you know, once she fucking left and whatnot, you know, my dad's like, oh, you did a good job. He said, I don't know if I could have not hit her myself. I said, I wanted to. I wanted mm-hmm. to knock her the fuck out and get on top of her and just beat the fuck out of her. Cause
some women just need to be beaten.
Well,
like I said, I have no problem beating up a woman. If they come at me like a man, I'm going to go back at them like a man.
And that's kind of my philosophy. You know, I won't start one with them.
I won't start one with them, but if they swing at me first, it's
she
on.
Was trying to set me up big time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, get your fucking dick beaters out of my fucking face. I mean, she was pointing her little fucking fat little fucking finger in my... Oh, mm-hmm. ooh, still pisses me off to this day. But that ended. And I don't know what the fuck her deal was, man. She divorced me. The divorce mm-hmm. papers were final. She hid it from me. You know, because this whole time when I moved in and she said, you know,
mm-hmm.
get out. And that whole time I thought we were trying to work it out. She was stopping the divorce and she had no intentions of ever doing that. And she never told me it was over. When we got divorced, I couldn't afford a lawyer and mm-hmm. they sued me for her fucking lawyer. So she could afford one and she could do whatever she wanted because I had to fucking pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So much bullshit.
Oh, it always is.
But
I got lucky. My dad, my mom and dad, they paid for my divorce. And my old lady, she couldn't afford a lawyer, so she kept trying to get me to stop it and this and that. And
well, see, like, and no. since I didn't have a lawyer, no one gave me the divorce papers.
Mm-hmm.
And she got them. I was watching the kids one day over there while she was at work, but there were the papers laying out. I'm like, what? So I picked them up and looked at it, and at that point, we'd been divorced for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the fuck? I was pissed. You know, so I confronted her about it, and, you know, whatever. And it's like, yeah, you know what? You're nothing but a fucking lying whore.
Yep.
And there was one other chick, too, I met off the internet. This was before.
We love the internet.
This was between the one dude's wife and Hope. There was one I was talking to online, and she was corrections chick from New York.
Ah.
And she actually made the trip down to spend the weekend with me. Dude, she was like 6'4". And she was an Amazon, literal Amazon. I mean, she was towered over me. Those were the biggest boobs I've ever seen in my fucking life.
She used her handcuffs on you and her nightstick?
Nope, she didn't need to, though. She could fucking throw me anywhere she needed to throw me. And, you know, Kelly got fucking wind of this, that, you know, I was meeting this chick and whatnot. And all of a sudden, she volunteered for work, and I needed to babysit the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then she started in on me about my internet whores or whatever. And I'm like, we're fucking divorced.
Yeah,
get the fuck over it!
For whores, you know?
You know? And that, she was psycho too, man. She wanted a relationship right off the bat. No. You chose to come down here. You know, that's fine.
I've been lately. I'll be fuck buddies and hang out and stuff, but no.
I met my brother-in-law that morning. We went out for breakfast, and she was showering, getting ready to head back to New York. And we come back. And at the time, I was living in an efficiency apartment. It's a converted motel. And turn them in the business department. So we head back over there after that, you know, see if she was still there or whatnot. I was getting introduced, and she'd already left. We walk in, and there's a fucking Hershey bar and a rose laying on my pillow. And he looks at me and goes, what the fuck did you do to her? I said, well, I did it right. But then she was wanting me to come up there and meet her kids and shit. And I'm like, whoa, you know, we've only been talking, you know, a month and a half here or whatever, and you decided to come meet me. That's a little too far. And she went all psycho. You just wanted me for one thing. I'm like, wait. You volunteered to come here. Mm-hmm. I never offered any of that. I didn't say I wanted that.
A lot. Yeah, she'll come up there and be, you know, you only want me for sex. And it's like, we go out and hang out, and like, we're out hanging out for like a half hour, and you're wanting to go fuck. It's like, I don't bring the conversation up. You volunteer. If you're going to volunteer, of course I'm going to hit it. But I'm not going
to,
you know.
And, you know, this chick was like, hey, I'm off this weekend. You know, you want me to come by? You know, I'm like, you're in New York. I'm in Indiana. She says, I don't mind the drive. Okay.
Yeah, you know. You're going to come. Hey, that's on you.
That's fine, you know.
I'll make sure you're satisfied, but, you know.
She got here and took her back to the apartment, and we weren't there 10 minutes, and she was naked, so.
Mm-hmm. Best way to do it.
Don't give me that, you only want one thing. You were the first one naked, not me. But. So I hoarded up good for like 3 months there. A 3 month period. Then I met, you know, Hope, and like I said, met her, and then actually we got together, and we're together for 8 years. We were married for 5, together for 8. And that was a rebound relationship that should have ended after about a month, but mm-hmm. it didn't. And again, if they cheat with you, they'll cheat on you.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly had fucked around on me a couple times while we were married. But, you know, I believed in trying to work the marriage out. So, you know, I said, well, we do counseling, all this shit. You know, I did everything I could to try and save that marriage. She wanted no part of it. And, you know, and my dad's philosophy on it is, well, you know, you were willing to work at it, and she wasn't, so.
Welcome.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And Hope was, she's a whore.
Dude, hey, what's her number?
Couldn't tell you. I don't do. I don't have anything to do with that one. You know, I'm still involved with Kelly. You know, because my kids and whatnot. My son's 18 now. It won't be. You know, once he graduates, I'll be filing in court and get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so there's mandatory stuff there. But you know, once I'm not paying support for him, contact for her is going to be virtually nil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents still invite her to family things. They took us to Disneyland in 2007, so I took Hope with my current wife, but they invited Kelly to go too, and that pissed me off. Like, what, really? Fucking family vacation, you invite her. But, you know, my three kids were going, and she's pulled some shit, so they kind of keep her involved. Because when we first got divorced, like I said, she got with that one guy, and it was towards the end of that summer. We were officially divorced in April, and in August she decided, I'm moving to Florida next week, so if you want to see the kids, you need to get in as much time as you can this week, and don't think you're going to see them if you have hope there. So, you know, my family fucking worked with me, and, you know, my sister would pick them up or whatever, see them, whatever, and then, of course, I go over and meet for dinner, and we have hope there and whatnot, you know, but she fucking took off out of state, and by God, you know, they nailed me for my back support, but they didn't fucking touch her when she skipped the state. Mm-hmm. And the divorce paper said she wasn't allowed to move more than 100 miles away without the court's permission. She just fucking up and took off with him. So, when it came time to the next summer to see them, you know, I was supposed to get them. And I didn't trust her. Mm-hmm. You know, and I called to set things up to go get them and whatnot. And I got this, well, me and such have decided we're going to come up in August for a week, and we might let you see them for a day. And she's like, and if you don't like that, you can take me to court. Well, as a matter of fact, I talked to my parents today. My dad gave me the money, and I did hire a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, we are going to go to court over this. And so the lawyer set up a court date. And she called the fucking judge, gave me the sob story about living in Florida, and I don't pay my support and all this shit. And by then, I was paying my support and back mm-hmm. support. And she used this for an excuse for a bunch of things. I'll go into that in a minute. But and the judge is like, I don't care what your story is. This is a court date, and you know it's over custody, so you need to find a way to get here. Mm-hmm. And she didn't show up. The judge was pissed.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you know, I had just for visitation for the summer. That's all I wanted. And he granted it. He says, you get them from a week after they get out of school until 2 weeks before they have to go back. He says, you have custody. And your child support will be halved. Which I still didn't get. I got the fucking kids, and they have my support. So she's still getting half the support, but I'm supposed to fucking, and she doesn't have the kids, and I'm supposed to make it last for all three of them mm-hmm. with you know part of the income, and made it work anyways. But and he says, then we'll notify the Escambia County Sheriff's Department if she doesn't want to give them up. We'll escort them off, and she'll go to jail, and we'll see how she likes that. Mm-hmm. And then 2 days later, I get a phone call. Why do you have to involve the sheriff? Why'd you do that for? I said, one, I didn't. You pissed the judge off because, mm-hmm. one, you contacted him, and then you didn't show up. I said, this is all the judge. I said, as long as you give me the kids, I said, the sheriff won't show up. I said, but if you give me any shit, they will be there. Mm-hmm. And at that, you know, by that point, she finally learned, fuck you. I don't like you anymore. I'm going to take you to court.
That's how I do with my kid.
You know? I'm going to take you to court.
We did that huge custody fight over, and she kept wanting to take the kid over to Ohio and have her during the summer and this and that. And it's like, no, you're going to take the kid and disappear. Like, we know you. You know, you fall off the map. You know, we go 6 months and don't hear nothing.
And see, I was supposed to get them every other holiday, and either during spring or Christmas break. But they lived in Florida. They were almost 1,000 miles away. And it was ordered that we either meet halfway to exchange kids, or one of us goes all the way down, and the other one has to come all the way to get them. And so I gave up the vacation time through the middle of the school year to go ahead and have an extra week at the end of the month. We agreed to that one, or at the end of the time. So instead of 2 weeks, they go back a week.
Week
before. And so we did that, and, you know, come time, you know, I went down. We're going to meet halfway, and she called, fucking canceled. I can't afford it. And this is her excuse for everything. She can't mm-hmm. afford it. She got $150 a week from me for child support. So she gets $600 a month for me for child support. $750 a month if you get those ones with five weeks. Yep. And her excuse is always, I can't afford it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Bullshit. Fuck you. And she would tell the same kids, you can't get that because your dad doesn't pay a support. Mm-hmm. You know, and so for a long time, my kids were like, why don't you know, you don't love us? I'm like, oh, no. That shit comes out of my check automatically. That's mm-hmm. I don't even go to the court to pay it. They take it out of my check. She gets it. She gets $700 or $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I said, yes, really. You know, and in that, once I got my support caught up, I was also supposed to be able to claim them for taxes mm-hmm. and alternate right years. Yep. Yeah, she never did that.
That's when I'd do it anyway.
She
bring the IRS in.
I'd be the one that got in trouble for that, trust me. But, you know, well, I don't remember that. That wasn't in my court papers. I said, dig up your court papers. Yes, yeah. It is. I said, that was agreed upon between the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, you want to dig that in, whatever, but...
See, my ex tried to do that, you know, after we got all in custody and everything. She was trying to, you know, claim her every other year and stuff like that. She kept telling me she was going to do it. It's like, first off, you're not paying your support, so, like, that's going to be the first thing.
Well, like, secondly, the stipulation was once I paid up my mm-hmm. back support, which it took about 3 years. But I paid it up. I did everything I'm supposed to fucking do.
Well, see, with us, I even with one of my friends that's paying support, once, if you're behind on support, when they get your income tax from, they take all your tax money.
Oh, yeah. Georgia. Yeah, they will.
So.
And they did.
And that's why I kept telling him, he's not claiming his kids now, and I was like, you need to claim your kids, that way every other year, that's an extra, you know, $1,500, $2,000 or
well,
whatever, that'll go towards paying it off.
Well, usually the rule is if you owe back support, you can't claim the kids until the back support's caught up.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
A lot of that's up to the judge, but most of the time that's what they say. You know, as long as you owe back support, you can't claim them. But once you claim back support, then you guys can alternate years that you claim them. And a lot of times, the guy gets screwed over. The woman still continues to do that. And you take it to court, and they're like, well, you know, she has...
And that was a good thing. When we got it, we... ended up getting full custody of the kid, so it was like, now you can't claim her no matter what.
Right.
So.
But I went down there and picked him up. I rented the car, because at the time I had a piece of shit. So I rented the car, went down, picked him up. Come towards the end of the summer, I'm like, yeah, you know, I bet you she's going to call and say she can't come get him. And sure enough, a week before, well, I can't afford to come get him, so you just bring him back. No. She said, what do you mean, no? I said, no. Court paper said one of us goes one way, one goes the other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just charge you with kidnapping. I said, you go ahead and call the courts. Mm-hmm. And she called, and she tried to report me for kidnapping for not bringing him back. And I said, no. Court order says one goes down, one comes up. If he picked him up, you need to pick him up, and they can legally stay with him until you come pick him up, and there's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. Well, boom, all of a sudden she had the money to rent a car and come get him.
Oh, yeah, they always do. They try to push as much as they can.
Yeah, and shortly after that is when I quit having problems with her. Because mm-hmm. at that point, it's like, I'm not putting up with your shit anymore.
No.
You know, you screwed me over plenty of other times, fuck you.
You know, once you get it in the court papers, then there's nothing she can do, you know?
Right. Pee break.
We're back. I had to take a pee break again.
Yep, it happens. Such is life.
Yep, for old people, I guess.
Piss off. Uh-huh. All right, so I just got done talking about Kelly again, so we'll go back into Hope. So I got with her, had all this fucking shit going on with Kelly and whatnot, and then we ended up... she ended up moving in, getting together, got a place and shit. Well, we're at our new place. It's probably about, probably together about 3.5-4 months. Get up one Sunday morning, fucking phone rings. I don't recognize the number. I'm like, hello, click. About 10 minutes later, it rings again, same number. Hello, click. Who the fuck? So it rings again. This time I answer it and I say, who the fuck is this? Click. And so I go to her, I'm like, hey, you know this number? No. Really? Because they keep calling here and they keep hanging up. I don't know who the fuck it is. calls again. Say hello. This time they ask for Hope. I'm like, yeah, hang on. Hand it to her. I said, you don't know that number, right? She says, no. I said, well, they just fucking asked for you. And I fucking hand it to her, and some dude she's talking to on the computer and gave her our fucking phone number. So I know she's lying because we just got the phone. So it's, you know. And she kept doing this throughout, you know, more dating, and the guy's fucking calling because she gives her fucking phone number out. Fuck.
Of course, you know.
So she turns out to be a little bit of a freak. You know, she keeps wanting to get this three-way going. So she's talking to these chicks online. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. If you want to do that, that's fine. I said, I'm not doing two guys and a girl. So, you know, if you're up for this, fine. If not,
you're so sexually repressed.
I don't have a problem with that, dude. I don't know, no swords crossed, none of that shit. Fuck that. One
stays at the top, the other stays at the bottom, then you just switch. It's fine.
No. It's not fine. You know, I didn't push it for the matter. You know, she's like, no, I want to do it. All right, fine. Again, I'm not doing that. I'm fine with this. And if you don't want to do that, fine. I'm good. Oh, yeah, she set something up like two different times with two different girls, and she fucking pussies out, you know. But man, she's just talking to these girls left, or guys left and right. And, turned out, she fucked around on me twice before we even got married. But she was a heavier girl, but wasn't bad in bed. So I'm one of those. Well, whatever, you know. So she hooks up with this guy, and at this time, one of my old girlfriends from high school got a hold of me on Yahoo. This was way before Facebook. Everything was on Yahoo. This is before MySpace. So I'm talking to her, you know, and, you know, I bust the whole pot again, fucking around on me. This time I'm pissed, you know, I'm telling her about it. So, you know, she's like, wow, you want to pay back? All right.
Fuck
right,
yeah.
Fuck it. I'll pay back. She, you know, she's already done this a couple times. I learned my lesson, you know, I was faithful on the first one. Fuck this. I'm up for that. And then, that turned into an affair that lasted 8 years. I won't use her name either. Because she was married too. But during the whole marriage, I'm not going to dwell on Hope too long. I couldn't tell you how many times she fucked around and I lost track. But, you know, every time we move it to a nicer place, and we were actually buying a house, and I liked the house, it was on the fucking river, you know, so pretty much I was staying with her because I liked the house, I didn't want to give it up, and at the time, you know, with as much as I was paying on support, I wasn't going to be able to afford a place if we split up, so, but she decided she wanted to have a divorce, but she hid it. She didn't try to work anything out with me or say anything or nothing like that. We went, her parents took us on a fucking vacation to Vegas, 9-day vacation. And during that time, she had her fucking friends move all the shit out of the fucking house.
I remember that. I was part of the group then.
So, yeah, I think I was part of the group about a year, year and a half at
that
point.
Because
we had shot some videos there at the house.
She got rid of your dogs.
Oh. Yeah, we come home and I'm like, why aren't the dogs barking? And why is our van moved? You know, because we had left and her best friend's son was watching our house. And he wasn't supposed to drive a vehicle.
Of course.
You know, and it's parked completely, it's like 10 foot away from where it was parked when we left. Because I had parked it way up so we could park the other car behind it. Well, now it's out. And I'm like, what the hell, you know, you know, where's the dogs barking and why is the house dark? She said, well, you'll find out in a minute. And this whole time we're coming home from her parents' house in Middlebury to Elkhart, she's talking to the bitch that moved my stuff out of the house. She's sitting there laughing and talking and cutting up on the fucking phone. And at this point, you know, I'm like, fuck is up? And, you know, it turns out they were laughing about this shit. And I walk in, turn on the fucking lights, and the fucking house is cleaned out. There's hardly anything that, you know, I had furniture from a rent-to-own place that was still in there, and the bed was still in there. Fucking everything else was gone, man. A dining room table. So some of the stuff I had coming in the relationship where I had gotten was still there. But, you know, shit she didn't want. But they took, like, both fucking, we had two computers, took both computers. That pissed me off because one of them was mine. I had it custom built, and I paid for it, you know, on my own, out of my money. And I'm like, where the fuck are the dogs? Well, they're gone. I'm leaving you. What the? And I'm still holding bags from a vacation we just took with her fucking parents. And I lost my fucking, that's the only time I ever had the cops call on me. I lost my fucking mind. And it wasn't the neighbors, it was her fucking best friend called. You know, he's being violent over there, blah, blah, blah. And because I got pissed and I hit this picture we had on the wall. I fucking, well, one, two of them were glass, and one I fucking punched. You know, I was pissed off. So I had glass sticking out all over my fucking fist, bleeding all over the place. And the next one, I fucking just hit it, fucking flew off and smacked her in the face. Bitch deserved a lot worse, but that's what she got. Wasn't intentional. I just knocked it off the fucking wall, and she walked in the way, and it fucking nailed her in the face. And I'm fucking yelling at her shit, and I'm like, fine. You know, if that's what you want, get the fuck out. You know, so I went out to the car, started cleaning all my stuff out of there. Here comes a cop car. Here comes a second cop car. And here comes her fucking friend behind him. I'm like, I really don't need this fucking shit right now. And, you know, a cop comes up. He's, what's going on? I said, she said she wants to leave me. Well, we got a call from this lady back here. Says you're yelling at her and throwing shit at her and threatening to hit her. I said, no. He looks down at my hand. I'm dripping blood all over. I still got glass sticking out of my hand. And he says, what happened there? I said, I punched a picture. It's on a wall, had glass. And I said, and I smacked another picture, and it flew over and hit her. He said, well, was that intentional? I said, no, I smacked it off the wall, and she was moving around, and it hit her, like, over here. I said, it didn't cut her, nothing like that. I said, she's fine. And he said, well, you know, she called and said, you're threatening her. I said, no, I told her, get the fuck out. She's leaving, get the fuck out. I said, that's it. You know.
She already cleared the place out, so she ain't got nothing
here. I said, you know, and he says, well, he said, let's go inside, and you know, clean that off and wrap it up and whatever. And my partner, her, pulled him out. Well, it turned out that the guy was his partner I went to school with. So they're outside, and they're talking all kinds of fucking shit to the cop outside. They're saying all kinds of shit. I threatened to fucking hit her and shit like that. And I'm inside, you know, I'm cop sitting there, and he's, you know, at this point, I'm so pissed off, I'm upset. You know, my fucking face is all red, and I got tears streaming down because I'm wanting to kill this bitch. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just bullshit. And part of it was because I was pissed off because they got rid of my dogs. They took the dogs to a no-kill shelter and then told them that I threatened to kill the dogs if she left. So the no-kill shelter would not let me anywhere near it. They wouldn't hear my side. They didn't want to hear none of it, you know, because I contacted them. I'm like, hey, my dogs are dropped off. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're the one that threatened to kill them. I said, no, I never did that. We know your kind. No, you're not going to, you won't ever get these dogs back. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, there's two sides to every coin. But anyways, so I didn't even get to say goodbye to my dogs, you know, and my dogs, kind of like yours, they were,
oh yeah,
you know, especially Bandit was the big hairy one. Mm-hmm. And that was my dog. I got him for my birthday. That was my dog. The other one was more hers. I could really care less about him, but, cops, you know, said, well, what's happening? I said, that's, you know, some bullshit. And he says, you know, I've done this for 15 years. He said, there's nothing you can't tell me that I haven't heard. So I told him, I said, well, you know, we just went to Vegas with her parents, whatnot. And I said, we just got back, and I said, that cunt that's standing outside there that called, I said, is the one that moved all the shit out of my fucking house while I was gone on vacation. I said, I don't want her here. I said, and she told me she's leaving me as soon as I walked in the door after they cleared everything out. I said, they got rid of my dogs, all that shit. And he looks at me and says, no, I was wrong. That's a first. And then he went outside, and he walks outside, and they start yammering because they sound like squawking fucking chickens up. He walks out, and he says, just shut up. he says, is this what happened? And he went through the store, and she said, yeah. And he says, you need to just get your stuff and get off the property now. And he says, you moved your stuff out, so you gave up your right to be here.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you need to get out of here. And she says, well, he threatened to change the locks. And he says, did you do that? I said, hell yes, I did that. Mm-hmm. I told her she can get all her shit out tonight. I said, now I'm changing the locks so she can't get back in. And he says, well, he says, you can do that, but technically, since she's on the, you know, the title, she could kick in that window, break her way in to get her stuff, and there's nothing I could do. And I said, fine, whatever. She said, well, I can't get all my stuff tonight. And I said, you already took most of this fucking shit.
You had 9 days.
I said, you already cleaned it out, you know. And he's like, well, what do you need to get? She says, well, I still have clothes and crap. And he says, you can't get that now? And she says, no, I don't have enough room. And he says, well, does she come back tomorrow and get it? I said, yeah. I said, I need to know what time, so I'm not here. You know, I said, I don't want to fucking see her. I don't want to deal with her. And he's like, fine, you know, what time you going to be here? Blah, blah, blah. And so she went, took her shit out, whatnot, and left. And at this point, I had to sell the house because there was no way I could afford the mortgage plus what I was paying and everything. And I put it up for short sale. But in the meantime, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, don't shut the fucking cell phone off. I need the cell phone to get shit started and moved. I said, I will get my own in about a week or so. You know, and she's like, fine. You know, I can do that. The next fucking day, the bitch went and fucking shut it off. So I go in there, and she's like, well, I shut it off, because I don't give a bit. She said, but they said you can come in and do this and that and get it back. And I come in, and talking to them, and they're like, oh, I can't do that. We can do this. And I said, look. And I said, this is what happened. You know, and I fucking told him the whole story again. He's like, really? He said, that's kind of fucked up. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, it is. I said, and then she turned around and did this shit. And he says, well, tell you what. He says, he goes, screw that crap. He says, let me see what I can do. He says, I can go ahead and get you a free phone set up, your own account. And I said, and that's this way it sticks her with that extra account. If she wants to fucking cancel it, she can pay the cancellation fee, or she can pay for two phones for money. Because the guy, she gave this guy a whole different fucking story.
Mm-hmm.
And so they fucking went ahead and did it. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. And yeah, after that, the first couple months, you know, before I married her and whatnot, she killed what trust I had, so I let her get everything in her name.
Mm-hmm.
So when she left, she's like, well, what are you taking care of? I said, what do you mean, what am I taking care of? She said, well, what bills? I said, they're all in your name. My name's not on them.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucking stuck. And well, she was mad. I'm like, what? I said, I didn't trust you, so
that's what you get.
That's why, you know, I let you get everything in your name. She did let me have the van, because that was in both our names, so she mm-hmm. couldn't do that. You know, she had taken the other car and had it in her name. So I drove that for a couple months, and it broke down. And by then, I'd moved out of the house and put it up for short sale. So it finally died, and I went to the tow truck company, and it was actually another friend of mine I went to school with. She was working there. And she's like, well, what do you want to do with it? And I said, you know what? I said, can I have it, you know, towed to my old house or whatever, dropped off there? She said, well, that's almost technically out of our range. I said, well, look, this is what happened. You know, and I told her the deal. And I said, it's in her name. She's like, I think we might be able to do that. So we turned around, and I took everything that had my name on it off there, and the only thing that had my name on it was the registration, but the title was in hers.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped it off in front of the house and left it there, and then the cops tagged it abandoned and threw it in impound and sent her the bill. But, and then... And like I said, with her, I had been divorced in April, and then I met her in June, and we got together in June. And this next time, we got divorced, I stayed divorced for almost 5 years, and I was a little man whore then, too.
Wait, really?
But, Nothing real interesting off of that. I just fucking lived life and survived life.
Mm-hmm.
And, part of the girl that I was with 8 years went a couple years into that, and then we eventually just kind of split up. She found something better and went with that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, shit happens, and
yeah.
Now I'm pretty much here. I did forget a story there in the Navy on the ship where I encountered my first real ghost.
Mm-hmm.
It was shortly, I think it was about the cruise before the final one of the ship, which is we had a plane jet crash. Guy was training and crashed the jet, and I think he killed 7 people. And I think that was, I don't think we went back out after that. If we did, it was maybe one more. And it was the trip before this one. I had actually managed to make it back onto the watch bill for an actual rotation. I pissed someone off, so they put me on the watch bill. And I'm up there on the aft watch, and this is it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And before anyone I was serving with, you know, listens to this and smarts off that I was high. This was about a year after I'd quit fucking doing this shit, so I was sober. I was not huffing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm up there on watch. Probably about 2 in the morning. This was the mid-watch. And I'm up there, and it was cold. And so they have a little spot up there where they had the signal light, the one where you pull the little handle and it flashes and send Morse code. Well, it's surrounded by some walls, and you can actually sit in there and nuzzle up pretty good, so it's not, you know, your face is the only thing getting hit, and everything else is hit. And I'm sitting there, and I'm actually getting kind of tired, and, you know, you're not supposed to do this, you know, sleeping on watch. Plenty of people do. They might have, that upper deck was also right next to the smokestack. So if it was real cold, there was a room you could go in, or you could lean up against it, and there's actually heat generating off there, so you could kind of warm up. And there's one spot that had some fire hoses that went through there, and they were dangling. You could fucking sit in the hose and tuck away on there and get warm. But it was chilly, but not quite that cold. So I'm sitting up there, and I'm kind of starting to doze a little bit. And you know, I wake up real quick and shake my head, and I look over, and there's another spot on there, and I saw what looked like it. An old flight suit, and it was kind of a, not a skeleton, but a skeletal finger, standing there looking at me, and I'm like, you know, shook my head, looked at it, and just held its hand out, pointed at me, and just shook it like, no, don't do that, and then I kind of closed my eyes, shook my head, it was gone again. I'm like, oh, no, fuck that. And I was wide awake after that. But there had been some deaths during World War II at various parts of the ship. So the ship was haunted. Mm-hmm. And there's the big one's the boiler room. That's been on a couple of those shows and whatnot. But I saw that. And like I said, been clean for a good year. So I can't be attributed to that. I was actually, you know, pretty sober. But that made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And that's... I've always kind of been interested in the supernatural and ghosts and stuff like that, but that really piqued my interest in it. But then I went another few years before actually getting involved with the ghost hunting stuff. Again, you know, back then when all this happened, you didn't have the internet, the advent of the internet or any of that kind of stuff. So being parts of anything that does that was very hard to find or get with.
It was still taboo at the time. A lot of people didn't talk about it. It wasn't something, you know, you didn't have clubs and something you go out and join and do this.
Right. Most people look at you like you're fucking nuts. You know, if you're in the military, people harass you and your friends harass you all the time. It would be your shipmates, your ground pounding buddies, whatever you want to call them. So a lot of times when you experience weird shit like that, you just don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were... a few times when I was tough and getting high, where I'd be back there in the paint locker. The paint locker was right above the fantail. And the fantail was where a kamikaze came in and actually hit the ship, blew up back there and whatnot. And there was a couple times when I had gotten really stoned and all of a sudden I would hear all kinds of commotion, and I would, you know, kind of peek my head out, and there's nothing going on. And I get back in there and start doing it again, and it was like reliving the crash that happened. I could hear a plane zooming in, and I could hear an explosion. I could hear all kinds of people running around and shit. But when I go look, maybe 2-3 people walking around out there, and just the machinery going, fuck, and go back, do it, and fucking hear it again. And later on, you know, once advent of the internet, interviewing some of this shit, you know, you have situations where a haunting can occur where it's just audio, vocal, mm-hmm. that you can hear. And a lot of times, a lot of people say when you do drugs or like huffing or whatever, it opens things up so you can pick up on things you normally wouldn't. And I think that might be what happened with that. And then, of course, you know, a couple years later down the road, then I had my experience sober, mm-hmm. on there. And that was like really peaked. I'd love to go back to the ship now with what, mm-hmm. I know, and start hitting all these spots and seeing what we get. Because, again, it's a, what, 1942, so 60, 70-year-old? What?
Yes. 70-year-old.
70-year-old warship, mm-hmm. that people have died on, you know, and they've met violent, nasty, mm-hmm. deaths, and that what can come in with a haunting. I'd love to get on there and get a hold of that. especially with like some of the stuff Ghost Lab was on there. Mm-hmm. And they did that boiler room. They did an EVP, and they actually got an EVP that says, I'm burning and I'm on fire. And what had happened in there in the boiler room is they had an accident and it burned some people to death in there. And I heard that, and I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool. I need to go back now. You know, knowing what I know now compared to, you know, when I'm on the ship, I was, you know, I was on there from when I was 19 till I was, what, 22, mm-hmm. 23. So, young, naive, all that kind of stuff. I just thought it was a bad trip. And reading on later on, you know, you can experience that kind of stuff. You know, I just love to go back there now, knowledge I have, and whatnot. And really at the time, you know, like I said, us late teens, early 20s, I hated authority and all that shit. But and at the time, you don't think about it. But now that I'm older, you know, I was on a living piece of history. Mm-hmm. And now to look back on that, and that was just fucking cool. You know, and to be able to say that, you know, yeah, it was an old ship, you know, it was 42 to decommissioned in 91, so it was almost 50 years old, mm-hmm. you know, and I was one of the few people, considering the amount of people that served in the military and in the world, I was very, very small, less than 1%, that ever got to drive that, mm-hmm. something that big, and to be able to command it and control it like that and stuff, it's fucking cool. You know, at the time, I didn't think it was. Right. I was like, that's a cakewalk job. And you look back at us, and when you play the numbers, I mean, at any given time, you know, there's only 15, maybe 20 people that are qualified to drive that ship at any, mm-hmm. given time. So, and there's probably maybe 400 or 500 people that have ever driven that ship. And when you think about it, you know, you say that, you think, man, that's a lot. But then you sit there and think at any given time there was 3,000 or 4,000 people. So you've got probably 50,000 people that served on that, and only 500 or 600 actually drove it. That takes it way down. And then you think of the amount of people in the military, you know, the millions that are in the military, and just the small amount that are able to drive a ship that big. You know, it takes it down into that 0.0 whatever percent. And then you can sit there. That's fucking cool, man. I was one of the cool people.
Yes, because like I said, I wouldn't even let you drive my car, but...
Dude, you know what? If I can drive something that's 910 foot long, I can drive anything that's on 4 fucking wheels. Or, probably 18 for that matter, but I don't ever want to drive a semi. Those guys are assholes. I don't like semi drivers. And if you're listening, you're a semi-driver. If you're an asshole when you drive, you're an asshole and I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're courteous and all right, it's fine. But chances are, if you're an asshole, you're either fucking a Russian or a Mexican or one of the other nationalities that drive like fucking idiots that can't speak English and have no reason being behind a wheel of a vehicle.
Oh, yeah. We've got 8 people from Pakistan now listening. They all signed up on the same day. So we got like the Taliban, Muslims, Jihad out there following us.
That's not necessarily from Pakistan.
Oh, they're Pakistanian, but they opened up a convenience store and want to hear our thoughts on it or something? I don't know.
Oh. If we're, you know, Jewish or Israeli, I can see they have a problem with us, but we're not. So
I just found it weird that 8 people signed up, subscribed to us all on the same day from Pakistan.
I don't know. Maybe they heard one of your comments. And
hey, maybe they're checking us out, I guess. I don't know.
Jihadin' on us or something. Jihadin' on you.
Hey, you're locked in with me.
So,
good association.
That pretty much sums up my life. I think I covered Ronnie.
Covered
right?
Just about everything now. Yeah.
My current wife, how we met and stuff. I did cover that.
Yeah, you talked about that. I told you not to do it, and you didn't listen. So.
Hey. I've been with her for just over 3 years, and we're about to hit our 2-year anniversary as far as married, and it's already been far better than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Life's all downhill from here.
It's all going pretty good now. I still got time to win the lottery.
Uh-huh.
Then it goes down from there.
Well, that'll be it then for this week's episode of the Kurt and Jeff Show.
Half week. We just ran almost 2.5 hours.
This is going to end up being, this will be part 5 of the Jeff Life story.
4 and 5.
Yep. It's 4 and 5 what we take today. So.
Good God.
Just wait till you get mine up there. Like I said, mine's going to be a 10-part maxi series.
Not if I can help it. You already covered.
I record half the stuff when you're not here. I just go plug it up in the basement and talk.
Shit. It's no fun without my smart-ass comments.
Oh, I'm telling you, though, I got some stories.
It's like it's not any fun without my... Well, half your story was fucking psychogen. That covered 3 years of your life right there.
Yeah, but I got another 33 to go. And that was a trilogy. So we'll get to that here soon. Like I said, we're going to take a little break from our life stories right now. We're getting more paranormal from movie stuff.
Yeah, we're going to get into some other things. You've got the release of Godzilla coming out in May, and I'm a huge fan of Godzilla,
so
you get to hear
that.
About that crap, because I've got probably 85% of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I will own all of them, and I have an opinion on all of them, so enjoy
So what we'll do is, next week's episode will be the one for the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and then after that we'll probably get into the Crystal one and get her 2 episodes up.
That's... Well, we quit talking about my life story because we invited her over and she got here because I was rambling on and on. Obviously, I still rambled.
Yep. So we had to stop and...
Hers is a really good podcast. She's
light working.
She's a light working... light worker and whatnot. She's got some really interesting stuff and stories, so we'll be getting it up here shortly. And then probably dwell a little more into the paranormal on actual subjects rather than, mm-hmm. than people.
I said, when we do our ghost hunt next week, yeah, I want to do a podcast live from the van while we're while we're hunting.
We'll be doing some ghost hunting stuff on here, maybe a little bit of some ghost one-on-one. But I guarantee it'll be different than anything you've ever heard.
Oh, trust me, it will be.
So
we'll go ahead and close out then for this week. Have fun. We'll talk to you guys next week. I'm Kurt.
And I'm Jeff. So long. Goodbye.
I'm heading for some place that ain't in a dream. I'm heading where no mortal man's ever been. And you may never see my face again. With the eyes of a fool and a heart full of fire, I'm climbing a mountain that keeps getting higher. I'm playing a game where no one's supposed to win.